Welcome to the teaching ministry of Heritage Baptist Church in Ashland, Ohio. Each week we bring you expository preaching straight from God's Word. Our goal with each teaching is to provide rigorous truth with relevant application. And now, here's Pastor Mark.
All right, good morning. Good to see each of you here today. Good to be up here today. Yeah. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 20. Luke chapter 9, verse 20. We're going to jump into the middle of a paragraph and connect it with some following verses. I will say that down at the end of the chapter, which we're not going to look at today for the sake of time, but at the end of the chapter, Jesus again is putting people to the test of discipleship. Do you really want to follow me? And they have all these reasons that they can't do it just that moment. And so there he's talking about priorities, but it's very connected to this text that we're looking at today. And then we could go on with the Gospel of John, which in chapter 6, everybody keeps showing up because they like the free lunch that Jesus gives them. And then when he gives them some real tough theology, I was going to say to swallow, but that's what it's about. He's the bread of life. But he gives them some real tough theology, and everybody leaves. And he's just there alone with his disciples. And he's like, do you guys want to leave me too? And of course, Peter says, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. Again, another text very connected to what we're talking about this morning. That's as much connection as I am going to make to all these other things that are important and involved in this. But we're just going to, this morning, look at one aspect of being a true believer, being a real Christian. That's what we're studying in this series, is what is a real Christian? Can throw the word around disciple if we like, and it has a specific meaning. But I think there's something very important this morning, and it's that one single point I want you to go home with. So Luke chapter 9 and verse 20. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of life that you have given to us. You have preserved it, and we, Lord, are blessed to have such knowledge, such revelation. And Lord, we pray that our commitment levels can match the grace that you can give us to accomplish it. Lord, we pray that we, with great love and passion, follow you everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. What is a disciple? And I want you to keep this text in mind because it's a connection and it sort of sets up what Jesus is about to say to them. But that point that Jesus is making here is, look, I'm going to suffer many things and I'm going to be rejected. And I'm going to be killed. I am going to be raised. But that's where Jesus is coming from when he's going to say these things ahead. But what is a disciple? Not asking you what is a Christian. That's a little broader, but specifically they're the same thing. But what is a disciple? Let's look at one definition here. We could say, change the word to discipleship, the thing that we're doing. Discipleship is the process of devoting oneself to a teacher to learn from and become more like them. You might say, well, that's a lot like an apprenticeship. Yeah, it is. It's very much like an apprenticeship. They're almost the same thing. If you want to be an electrician, then you go to a licensed master electrician and you follow him and you stick with him or her. And you work alongside them and learn what they know by what they do. And they'll talk to you and tell you, no, don't hook those wires to that. That's not going to feel good. Or, you know, don't put that many outlets in your circuit. You're going to burn the place down and so forth. You need to know what they know. All that knowledge needs to be transferred to you, and you learn it by following them around and doing what they do and listening to what they teach you until you've got it so into your mind that the books don't even matter, and it's the perfect career for you if you don't like to read. You just learn to be an electrician. It's an apprenticeship, and Jesus is going to ask them a question, and he's in essence saying, you want to be an electrician? You know, you've got to follow me. You've got to learn from me. He's not asking, though, if they want to be an electrician. Something far more important. It refers not only to the transfer of information, but also to the transformation of one's lifestyle in order to be more like one's teacher. So the disciple is not just learning information in the head. They're learning how to live, just like the electrician is not just learning the code so that they can write it on a test and pass. They're learning how to do that job and do it exactly right so nobody's house or no one's building burns down. A Christian is following Jesus so that he can learn the body of knowledge that Jesus has to give to us and then how that looks in our lives. We then are completely transformed in our actions, in our thoughts, and in our words. Everything changes. We look just like Jesus. That's the goal. So now we go to the text, and he says in verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? So I ask you, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to be his apprentice? Do you want to be a disciple? Do you want to learn from him? Do you want that transfer of information to come from Christ to your heart and mind? Do you want to have your life style, your actions, your words, your thoughts be just like Jesus's? He is asking us, if anyone would come after me, or he's saying, yeah, this is how it is. If you want to come after me and be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up a cross and do that daily, take up a cross daily, and you're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to follow Jesus everywhere he goes. Have you thought about what that's going to require of you? How serious is it? Now, this works perfect with Sunday school on our levels of commitment. And today we talked about laziness. And I think we were really talking about our work ethic as it applies to the spiritual disciplines and the Christian faith. What are we doing with the Bible? What are we doing with prayer? What are we doing with evangelism? What are we doing with fellowship or the partnership of believers and so forth, all the various spiritual disciplines? Jesus starts off with this first one here by saying, if you're going to follow me, then you need to deny yourself. It's not simply denying certain things. Like, in other words, he's not saying you can't have a house over on Countryside Road. You can't have a house, if you're going to follow me, you can't have a house over near the fairgrounds in Smith Road. You can't be over there either. That's too nice. You're going to have to pay a higher price. You're going to have to go over to North Ashland, maybe even over to Mansfield. And sorry, Jody. And not everywhere in Mansfield. There's also Ontario. Oh, wait, that's a different city. And so That's called a pastoral trap, and when you step in them, the bear, it snaps shut and your leg's caught. What do you do? It's broken already. Nothing fixes it. Anyhow, I won't even say any more, but I have a lot of thoughts going through my mind right now. I've already said them to other people, so do you remember what I've said? So, he is not saying, you can't have a nice house if you're going to follow me. That's not what he's, when we're talking about self-denial here, he's not saying you can't have a nice car. What he's talking about is denying personal control of your life. Which makes sense, because in order to even be a Christian, one must confess that he is Lord. He's the king. He's the owner of my life. Therefore, I have nothing. It's all his. What I am is his. But he's drilling down on them here to say, and remember, he's just come off by saying, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to die. Now, do you want to follow me? Okay, you got to deny yourself. You've got to give up all control of your life and let go. And for some people, that can be a really hard proposition. Zero control. And some of us go through some process or some experiences in life where we start to get it and say, I never had control. It was an illusion. I thought I had control. Or when I didn't, and I was going to make sure I had control, I sure made a mess out of relationships trying to get control. But Jesus says to all of us, all kinds of people, those who it's more easy to say, okay, yeah, you can have control, and those who it's really hard. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny your personal control of your life. You're just going to have to let go of it and let me guide and shape and mold and teach you so that you'll look like me. In Matthew chapter 6, if you can get there fast enough, great, but I'm going to read it for you. Matthew 6:31. He said, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So here's my point about, it's not the things he's saying you have to deny. It's the control. He's saying you need to stop worrying about all the stuff that you may think you need or that you might even desire or want. You just got to let go of all of that in what you're attempting to accomplish. And just trust me. You focus on the kingdom. You focus on being a disciple. And all these other things are going to get added to you. I'll make sure you have what you need. You won't go hungry. And you won't be standing out in the rain. And if you do end up and starve to death, it's because I wanted to bring you home into my presence anyhow. So it's a win-win for us. Trust him. That's what he's saying over and over as he's teaching his disciples. Trust me. Let go of the control of your life. I remember on Easter morning, we talked about Ephesians chapter 2 and the picture of conversion where he's describing the old life. And he describes that old life we once lived, and he says, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. That's how we once lived. That's when we had control. That's when we wanted control. We would not give up control. That's why people don't trust Christ. They don't want to repent. They won't bow to him as their king because they want the passions of their flesh. They do whatever their body and mind desires. But God came into our lives, and he snatched us and pulled us out of that and said, I'm recreating a whole new life. I'm making something beautiful. It's getting regened with the genes of Christ himself. When we are called to new life, when we are born of the Spirit, Christ is our king. He owns us. We no longer have control of our lives. So he says, if you're going to follow me, deny yourselves. In a way, it's kind of saying, yeah, of course. You own me. You have control. You've recreated my life. If you retain ownership, if you retain control, then you've never been born of the Spirit. You're not a Christian. So are you going to follow Jesus? Then you don't have control of your life. He has control. Another way to consider this, and I'm just giving you this as homework on your own, spend some time in the book of Ecclesiastes. Look at all the things that all men everywhere could desire and want. Just see what he puts out there. He's like, I'm going to go try everything. I'm going to try and experience and think about and just try it all and find where is fulfillment and satisfaction. And he gets to the end and he says, there isn't any in this world. The only thing that really matters is to fear God and keep his commandments. It is to worship him, to be in awe and wonder of the God who is. That's what the whole purpose of life is to exalt him and glorify him. That's what I see. So you spend some time in Ecclesiastes and you start connecting some dots with Jesus here saying, hey, you want to be my disciple? Give up control. Stop pursuing what your old desires were. He goes on. I could have put that up there for you earlier and then you had something to look at. Let's go to number two. He then says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And the emphasis is on daily. Now, it's already jarring enough for a first century person to hear that they should take up a cross. It sounds very serious. It sounds suicidal. It's not so much a call to martyrdom, though that did happen a lot in history and still does, but rather a call to look at your life in a particular way is what Jesus is saying here. Let me go ahead and read the quote. Let the disciples... Nope, let me not read the quote. That's too far down. I'm sorry. If you already read it, then you know it's coming. Blew my punchline. All right, so this is an extension of self-denial. In other words, the criminal who has been judged guilty and is going to be executed by way of a cross has no control. The only thing that's going to happen to them is a cross will be thrown on their shoulder. They're going to carry their own cross to the place where they will be nailed to it, they'll be hung there, and they will die. So it's an extension of self-denial to realize, look, I'm taking every day I've got this reminder that I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I belong to someone else. And in this case, I'm going to my death. First thing, Jesus is calling his disciples to prepare for execution by crucifixion, which is the worst way to die. It's so bad, it's such a horrible way to die, that the Apostle Paul could not be executed that way. He was a Roman citizen. No Roman was ever allowed to be executed by crucifixion. They'd get their heads lopped off. That was humane, I guess. But in crucifixion, you would die over a 3-day or so period. A gruesome and horrifying death. And Jesus is saying, look, I want you, if you're going to follow me, you need to put that killing instrument on your shoulder and carry it every single day because you're going to your death. In other words, following Jesus is a serious, even deadly calling. It is metaphorical, though. As I was already saying, in history, martyrdom happened and happened to probably all of the disciples, maybe not John, but it happened to all of them. Most of them, other than the Apostle Paul, by crucifixion. What a gruesome way to die. And many Christians onward through history have died in some way. That's not metaphorical, that was real. But what Jesus is getting at here is what he wants them to do. How he wants them to think about their lives. A condemned man would carry his own cross all the way to the place of execution. So let the disciples take up the position of the man who is already condemned to death. Hence, the saying refers not so much to literal martyrdom as to the attitude of self-denial which regards its life in this world as already finished. In other words, look at your life like this is your last day. If this is your last day, how are you going to spend it? Well, if I only have one day, I'm probably going to spend it with my family. But what if I tell you you've got a week to live or 6 months to live, but with certainty you will die? That'll change the way you approach everything, absolutely everything, because each and every moment counts. It's serious. Because you just get few. You don't have 80 years of moments. You've just got 6 months of moments or a week of moments. And I want each and every one of those to be filled with the best things, the most important things, and not trivial things. What if the doctor told you that you have a brain aneurysm and you're dead in a week? You'd be serious about those moments. You would fill them with the things that matter most. And I have never used a country music song and its lyrics, but I have to at least use this one. Oop, there we go. He said, I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me. When a moment came that stopped me on a dime, I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet times. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what did you do? What did you do? Well, Craig Weissman and James Nichols, they had a friend, a mutual friend that was going to die. And so they wrote this song about him. That's what we're talking about when Jesus says here, I need you, if you're going to follow me, not only are you going to have to deny yourself, give up control, but you need to throw a cross on your shoulder. You need to daily, every single day, get up and say, this is the last one. I'm going to throw the most important things in each moment. They're all going to count. They're all going to count. No more frivolous stuff. No more time wasting or laziness, as we were talking about and exploring in Sunday school. The most important things have to fit into my day. And I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. I hope, I don't wish that on anyone. But I do wish the attitude. I do wish what Jesus is compelling us to think about. There's an execution day coming. Your life is finished. It's over. Fill those final moments with the most important things. That's what I do wish. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. And I became a friend that a friend would like to have. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then, I don't know about this part, but I went skydiving, no thanks. I think you should go to the Rocky Mountains. If you haven't seen it, you need to see the Rocky Mountains. If you haven't, please, just get your tickets now and get out there. And I went, no, I don't even ride a bull. But Lel, let's go bull riding together. There's got to be a mechanical bull somewhere. We could do that. And at your advanced years, we need to get to that very soon. She just had her birthday yesterday. She is just getting up there. And Char's not here. So I warned her. I said I was going to pick on you this morning. So I just had to. We need a little humor here before we fill ourselves with so much serious stuff. But it is serious. It's very serious. because we're all going to give an account for the lives we've lived at the judgment seat of Christ. He is going to judge us for our faithfulness. And to whom much has been given, much will be required. So what are you filling those moments with? Each day when you get up, what's going into them? By the grace of God and by his mercy, I pray, it's the most important and vital things to your spiritual health. So, he says to them, then follow me. Follow me. To do what? To learn from him, to be changed by him, and to be on a mission with him. Don't sit and ponder what ifs. Don't dawdle. It's not a theory. It's life. It's a believer's life. Deny yourself. Give up control. Take up a cross and do it daily. Live like every single moment matters. And follow Jesus. Learn. Grow. Change. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the grace shown to us that came looking and searching and finding a lost sheep. Lord, you called us out of our spiritual death into a new life, new possibilities, new capabilities. Lord, I pray that we will take up a cross daily. We'll give up control of our lives and we'll just continue persevering as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Any questions this morning at all? That might be the last time you'll ever see a country music song come. No, it's like, there's some good ones out there, useful ones. Mary.
Was that a common phrase of the time period that Jesus was using, take up your cross? Because it happens before he literally ends on the cross, and that just dawned on me. It's prior to the event happening. Was it a common phrase, or did he already tell the disciples, this is the way I'm going to die, you need to, you know, follow that same type of thing? Because it seems to me the disciples are in denial even all the way up to, like, they don't get it yet until after he returns and meets them in Galilee. So I'm just curious, like, was it a common phrase, or was it something he was trying to use to tell them, no, this is really what's going to happen?
Yeah. No, I don't think he was telling them that he was going to die by crucifixion. I'm trying to remember, as he gets in, especially in the Gospel of John, which is almost entirely about the Passion Week, does he tell them he's going to be crucified? I think he does. He tells them, and the Son of Man will be crucified.
And by the way, I just want to say I love Mansfield.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's all I had to say.
No, it's, we love it too. There's a lot of freight there, a lot of freight.
In John, and again, I don't know if this is what you were referring to, but I'll start in verse 30 and go through 32 in chapter 12. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. So I don't know if that's what you were referring or referencing.
Yeah. Now I'll have to do a quick search on the word, the Son of Man, I think he says must be crucified. But
whether or not it was a common phrase, I don't know that we could determine, but Mary, to attempt to answer your question, there would be no mistaking what Jesus was referring to when he says, take up your cross. That would elicit, everyone is familiar with crucifixion. So the idea of this is what it costs you, you know, it's again, it's life, it's everything. I think that was very clear to his original and immediate audience, the seriousness and the level of commitment that he was expecting, forcing upon them, make this decision now.
Yeah, it's a way of getting jarring people like a shock jock to say, look, you got to be willing to die by crucifixion. Everybody would be repulsed by that. And then to, yeah, just live with the idea of life is short, everything matters. Todd.
Do you think he was trying to combat the zealots of that day who are going to overtake, because he's talking about this new kingdom coming, and instead of being zealous to kill other people, you need to take up your cross, deny yourself. I think it's a natural human instinct to want to defend yourself and to gain control of Israel back to the Israeli people, and that's not the kingdom Jesus was talking about at that time, and therefore you need to deny yourself. This is how you're going to die. Die to self, not dying in a war.
Maybe. Yeah, but I mean, that's all true. That's absolutely true, what you've said, Todd. In this moment, I think what he's getting them to see, because he's going to keep hitting on through chapter, through a number of chapters to come here, he's getting them to see this is what real discipleship is. This is what it's going to look like. And he'll use a lot of these paradoxical thoughts, like I didn't get into it here, but and if you want to save your life, you got to lose it. You got to what? Save my life to lose it? And another, like, paradoxical. You've got to give, and then you'll receive. Like, what? You've got to be humble and go down in order to be exalted and go up. Where Satan said, I will be like the Most High. I'll climb up on the throne. He's like going up to get up. And what God's telling us is, you got to go down to get up. You've got to give up your life if you're actually going to get it. You've got to give away if you think you're going, if you want to receive. And there's another paradox that I can't think of at the moment. Mary?
A second aspect to add on to that is the concept of, what do you think about taking up the cross, meaning the effects of the cross, what the cross has done for us if we deny ourselves, and through the grace of Jesus, we accept that salvation and the effects of it. That changes your mindset every day. When you deny myself, I am made new, I am forgiven, and I will follow Jesus. There's an element of attitude adjustment to that.
Yeah, I think that connects. There's so many connections with conversion and discipleship, and what Paul says that is the life we live, that we become holy, our behavior begins to change. All of these truths start to tie together, and the more we study the Bible, the more we grow, we start to go, oh, wow, this is amazing how strong a foundation we are resting on as believers. That's good. Jody.
I want to invite you on a personal tour of Mansfield with the mayor. But on a serious note, your first point on denying yourself reminded me very much of, you know, when I was in college or post-college, you know, you're really trying to find out what is God's call for my life, right? We often, as humans, I think, get really caught up in what is the specific, thinking he's calling us to something specific with everything. And when I did I think it's Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, just the real aha moment was just follow God, and he will put you in the right places. He will open the right doors. And I think, you know, especially when we're younger, we can get caught in that trap. But any of us at any time can think, Lord, is this the right job for me? Is this the city you want me to live in? Is this the person you want me to marry? Whatever it is. And really, at the end of the day, if we're doing the basics that Jesus commanded us, then, you know, we have to trust we'll be making the right decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad would say to me over and over again, Mark, you don't have to know the details and the complexities. You just do the right thing in each moment. You plan for the right things in the future, but you just keep doing what's right. If you always keep doing what's right, God he's the one who's going to just open all that. He's taking care of it. Yeah, very good. All right. Dan, what would you like to tell us about Lel?
Well, before we get there, I just want to praise God for him drawing me and calling me to him. But that old nature that I used to have, I wanted nothing to do with God, with Christ. I wanted to do everything my way. But until he drew me and called me and changed my heart and regenerated me and gave me that gift of faith, that's what changed me. And that's when I denied myself. Now, brother, you mentioned my wife. I'm going to have to bear that cross all day today.
You truly are, because I didn't know she had a birthday until you told me. God bless you. Go in peace. Be filled and warmed.
Thanks for listening to this message from Pastor Mark Leslie in Heritage Baptist Church. You can find us online at hbcashland.com. You can also find us on Facebook or YouTube. We encourage you to share this message with anyone that you feel might benefit from it. But we do ask that you not alter the content in any way. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next week.